But while you're waiting here for that, those instructions, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 tonight. And we are studying the Lord's model prayer. Been there the past few weeks. I do apologize. I do not have a handout for you tonight, but I will have one that goes with tonight's notes for you next week, Lord willing, along with the new notes as well. But tonight, just please try to listen closely, and then, of course, I'll give you the handouts, and I'll go ahead and have the blanks filled in for you just to give to you to have for your records or if you're keeping those handouts. Matthew chapter 6, if you find your place there, we're going to pick up here and right there at verse number 9. We've covered verse 9 and we're going to begin verse 10 tonight, but let's go ahead and start with verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." I want us to concentrate on those three words found there in verse 10, "Thy kingdom come." Now, this is the second petition that we will find that the Lord is instructing His disciples to give. The first one we studied in our last message, and that was, "Lord, make Your name holy in our lives." That is the goal, that we want to make God's name exalted above all. We want to make Him glorified above all. That is the reason we exist, is to glorify Almighty God. And so that is the purpose of our life, the purpose of our prayer. We can't forget that. Even when the Lord says, "Pray for your needs," which we do need to pray that, it's all for the purpose of His glory. And if there's anything that you pray in this life that there's doubt whether or not it's going to glorify God, don't even pray it. Don't even go there, because we want everything we do to make sure that we glorify God. In fact, it might be safe to say, "Now, Lord, this thing I'm praying, if it in any way does not glorify Your name, Lord, forgive me for even asking it. Lord, don't answer it." Because the Lord wants to, He'll see our motives, because sometimes we may be a little unsure whether or not it's going to glorify His name. And we can say, "Lord, I want Your name to be glorified above my wants, my needs, whatever. Lord, You are to be glorified." And that was what we talked about, "Hallowed be Thy name." And then He moves to the second petition here. And we talked about the first three are all revolved around God and His glory and all directing back to Him. And then the last three we would talk about how it revolves around His children and our needs. But the second one is, "Thy kingdom come." And that's an interesting three words right there that the Lord Jesus is sharing with His disciples on how to pray properly. And what does that mean, "Thy kingdom come"? Well, here I'm just thankful for God's providence and His directing when He knows exactly where we are in the life of our church and our different studies and different messages. And I'm thankful in His providence that He preserved this evening for this passage, because I didn't plan it that way. I can't plan that well. I wish I could take credit for planning that, but I can't. But the Lord planned it for us to have this verse on the night that we begin our revival praying, because I believe this is a revival prayer request. Indeed, "Thy kingdom come." Now, one thing we have to ask ourselves here, first of all, what is Jesus teaching about praying, "Thy kingdom come"? Now, we can go several different ways here. One thing I want to establish right off is for us to understand that I do believe that we must understand that God is completely sovereign. You got to understand that to understand the context of what Jesus is saying here for this prayer petition. God is absolutely in control. Absolutely all the time. However, the Lord in His sovereignty has allowed man to play a part in His plan. He has allowed man to have a free will. He has allowed men to serve Him and to battle for Him and with Him. Pretty amazing, isn't it? That the Lord allows His children to do that. And so we need to understand that element of it. And also another element we need to understand is that God's kingdom in some ways speaks of His control over nature. God is in complete control of these storms that we've been visiting. Did anybody else feel like they needed a life jacket when they came to church tonight? Or a boat, maybe a canoe. Brother Jake's got one next door, so if we get desperate, we can get it. How many of you got a kayak? Anybody got a kayak at home? Nobody has kayaks? All right. Well, just raise your hand if you have a life jacket. Can you just tell me if you have a life jacket? Make me feel, you guys don't have life jackets? What is wrong with y'all? Well, do you have a raft or of some sort? All right. What's that? What do you have? A blow-up raft. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work just fine. An air mattress. Who has an air mattress? That will work. That will work. Okay, I just wanted to see y'all smile. All right, good. That little smile waking you up too. But we see here that God is in control of the weather. God is in control of all things. And you're not going to take Him by surprise. The Lord is in control. We know that because His Word declares it. He is in control. The Bible says that about the Lord Jesus. There in the Great Commission, we'll talk about that more in just a second, but it said that Jesus has all power and authority. Where? Where? In heaven and earth. So we cannot remove that element. Yes, the Lord is in complete control in His sovereignty. And so we know that. Also, we know that by the Lord Jesus, it says He is before all things. And then in Colossians 1:17, it says by Him all things consist. Everything is literally held together by Almighty God at all times. Now, I'm sorry if anybody's confused about that, but that is simply in control. When everything depends on you to be held together, that, my friend, speaks of God's control over the earth. And so we need to understand that. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's. And, you know, we can go into the laws of nature and that is considered laws of nature. The things that God has put into place in His creation, one being gravity. You know, you can't argue gravity. You just can't. You can't defy the laws of gravity. And that's what God has put into place. I mean, you can try. Some have tried. We can go up to the top and climb up to the top of this church building, even if you want to go on higher to the steeple and say, you know what, I'm going to defy it and I'm just going to jump and you'll see me come down softly like a feather. That's not going to end well, friend. That's not going to end well. We'll be scooping you off the pavement or the grass because why? Gravity, you will not defy that. Now, you know, men, they get smart, don't they? And they come up with ways to get around gravity. Okay, you know, like I'm thankful, especially those of you that utilize a walker to help you be more stable. We have an elevator, and we have a nice elevator that we can get on and lower it down. But you know, we think we're defying it. But guess what happens if the cable breaks? We're not even going to put that in Ms. Beverly's mind. Okay. Because that cable's not going to break. As long as you go on one at a time, please. All right? We don't need to get three or four even there together. All right? But we see that men try to get around that, but no, they can't. So there, my simple point is that God is in control. But then I don't believe that that's what Jesus is talking about here. I believe that Jesus is talking about here, when he's saying, Lord, thy kingdom come, he is talking about a spiritual battle. Let me explain. This is a spiritual context. We are talking about battling over the glory of Almighty God. And my friends, we are in a battle. We are battling on this earth for the glory of our great God. There is one who opposes the glory of God. His name is self. There's another that opposes the glory of God in this world. He's called Satan. And there is another that opposes the glory of God and the reverence of God and revering God's name. And that is the world, the system of this world that opposes Satan. They specialize, all three of those specialize in dethroning God in our lives. We know there in Timothy chapter 3 verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. There's a desire for us to be in control of our own lives, to be the king of our life. Then there's the world. In James 4, chapter 4, verse 4 says, whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, why is that? Because the world is at enmity with God. And we see that the world is trying to be the king and not God. That's what they're trying to do. And then we have in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers. That's authority. That's speaking of those that who are controlling rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that word rulers of darkness is talking about the rulers of darkness is talking about Satan and his demonic army. God has allowed them to have some control. That's why Paul referred to him in 2 Corinthians 4:4 as the God of this world. That why else would the Holy Spirit give him the name God? And it's a lowercase g. Why would the Holy Spirit do that? Because it is evident that God has allowed Satan to have control over this globe. And what kind of control is he taking? He is taking control of the hearts of men, of women and boys and girls. He is seeking to take control of them so that they do not give God control of their lives. And I believe, it is my belief that Jesus is talking about here when he says, thy kingdom come, I believe has three aspects. And I'm going to say these quickly so we can have time to pray. I believe the first aspect of this prayer request is, Lord, thy kingdom come simply means this, your kingdom come to me. Listen, you know, one thing that we must realize right off as we pray to Almighty God, Lord, when we come to Him as Holy Father, Almighty God, the Lord needs to have full control of our hearts. He must be the King. We can't go to the Lord in prayer without Him having all. Listen, if God doesn't have all, He doesn't want nothing at all. God's got to have it all. And this is revival praying, isn't it? Boy, it just puts it right down there where we need it. Jesus is saying, when you come to me, thy kingdom come, you better be letting me have full and absolute control as the King of your life. Thy kingdom come to me, Lord. Lord, I don't want to push you aside in any way. I just don't want you king right here. Lord, I want you king all the way around my life, every bit. And tonight, when we break up in prayer, may God have His way already in that way. King of my life. And then secondly, I believe the aspect is this. Your kingdom come to others. You know, as I mentioned here, we're in a battle. We're in a battle for souls. I believe Satan is doing his best, even in our own community and even in our own families, many times to take the souls of men away from being bought by the precious blood of Christ. And we must realize that we are in a battle, and Lord, our desire should, Lord, Your kingdom come to the people of our community. May they realize that Jesus can be their Savior and their King. And when Jesus has control, you don't have the bondage of sin. And so I believe as we pray, we can say, Lord, Thy kingdom come to me, but Lord, please let Thy kingdom come to others. May they know, and because let's be honest, we know obviously that God has relinquished some control in some way. It's obvious, is it not? What do I mean by that? Look at our world today. Look at the news. Look what the crimes and people are committing. Is God causing that? Is He forcing that? Is He manipulating that? Are they robots and God is causing them to sin? No. God is not the author of sin, my friend. He is allowing it in His sovereignty, and it's going to work together. Even the men's evil plans will work together ultimately for God's purpose, but He's not causing that. Satan is causing that. He's behind the scenes, working countries and men and families and communities and counties, and He's working it in a way that He can oppose them from giving God reverence and glory and exalting Him. He will do anything He can to stop that. But that's where you and I come in the picture. Praise God. God has allowed us to come in as His children to hold up the banner of Christ and go forth in Jesus' name. People that are blinded by darkness, the Lord has allowed us and called us ambassadors for Christ. He has called us soldiers of the cross. He has called us, church, to go forth and to make an eternal difference. Thy kingdom come, O God. And I believe that if we pray, Thy kingdom come to me, Lord, have control of me. Lord, have control of our community. Lord, get control of our church. We want revival, Lord. We want to make an eternal difference. Come upon us, Lord, and control us. Thy kingdom come. That's part of the Great Commission. The Lord is saying, hey, go out and preach my kingdom. Preach that I am King. That I am Lord. That I am Savior. That my name may be exalted to the heathen. And then thirdly, we see that, Lord, Thy kingdom come to me, Thy kingdom come to others. And then, oh, the desire of every precious child of God and even the Old Testament saint during his life on earth was, Lord, Thy kingdom come to all. One day, that kingdom God will set up upon this earth. And there will be no foolishness. That's a great day to look forward to. Amen. Hey, there will be no pedophiles. Hey, there will be no rapists. There will be no drug dealers. There will be no alcoholics. There will be no liquor stores. There will be no prostitutes. There will be no abusive parents. There will be no liars. Listen, Almighty God is going to come upon this earth in all His glory, and He's going to put a stop to every bit of it. And my friends, we need to look forward to that, and we do need to pray, Lord, come Thou quickly. Lord, we look forward to that day when You set up Your kingdom on this earth and that You are in full control and Satan is not in control any longer. Self is not in control any longer. The world is not in control any longer. Lord Jesus, You are in control completely. Oh Lord, we look forward to that day. Do we not? Psalm chapter 2. I'll read it to you. Gives us a little glimpse again of that complete control of the Lord gives. Listen to this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, all right, there they go. The kings of the earth who think they're in control set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. No control. And He, verse 4, that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He's going to laugh. He's going to laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. In verse 6, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill in Zion. Hallelujah. That's our King, ladies and gentlemen. That's King Jesus. Tonight, as we go to Him in prayer, and as we think about the model prayer, let's think about those three aspects of Thy kingdom come. Lord, Thy kingdom come to me. Lord, Thy kingdom come to others, my co-workers, my neighbors, my community, my family members. Pray that. And then, Lord, Thy kingdom come to this earth.